Hello. What a great ending that reading has. You know, like, you are going to have life in his name because you've read this. Great stuff. But we're going to focus on Thomas for this reflection. I'm calling it a reflection, not a sermon, because it's not going to be long, which you're probably pleased to hear. I've been away all week, so, you know, bear with me. Cool. So, I love Thomas. I literally love that he wasn't there when Jesus appeared to them. Like, that feels like the kind of thing that would happen to me. Like, I'm imagining that if Jesus walked into this church, I'd be, like, out getting bread. And then I'd come back and everyone would be like, Jesus was just, like, here with his hands and stuff. And I'd be like, yeah, okay. Whatever you say, Steve. Anyway, but I love him. And for some reason, when I was a young person, well, I was a child, definitely, I thought he was, like, this villain. I thought he was, like, second only to Judas. In my head, it was, like, Judas betrayed Jesus, and then Thomas doubted him, and that's just terrible. But obviously, that is not true. I mean, which of us wouldn't have found it a little hard to believe when the others all started talking about the fact that Jesus, who we just watched die, was just here? And all the disciples actually need a bit of a nudge, by the way. I mean, they'd already seen Jesus. And, like, take Mary Magdalene. She thought he was the gardener when she saw him. She wasn't exactly immediately full of belief that she was seeing Jesus. Jess reminded me this morning that those guys on the road to Emmaus walked the entire way to Emmaus with Jesus and told him all about Jesus and somehow didn't notice that it was, in fact, Jesus, you know. They weren't all immediately overcome by faith. And neither was Thomas. So, you know, a bit of doubt is okay, right? We all know what it means to feel doubtful about some aspect of our faith. And without doubt, we have no need for faith. Faith is something which helps us in those times. Faith is something that we choose to step into even though we don't have all the answers. And something that is really going on with me right now in my journey with Jesus is that I am really falling in love with faith. And actually, earlier than that, I'm like learning to get comfortable with faith and what it means to have faith and to need faith. Because you see, the church tradition that I grew up in, there was a lot of certainty, or at least it appeared that there was a lot of certainty. A lot of the leaders that I listened to, especially at the big conferences, you know, talked like, it felt like almost we didn't need to have faith. And this obviously isn't the intention of these leaders, but, you know, it feels like we know that God is real because we have these experiences. It was very based on experience. And as a young person, I definitely expected a specific kind of experience of God. And I thought that that was going to give me the certainty that I felt like I saw in the leaders around me. You know, I would be like, one day Jesus is going to hit me with the dramatic experience of God. And then I'm going to be like, now I get it. 100%, I'm into it. And I would wait for that moment that I thought was going to come. And, you know, it didn't come like that. And, you know, what I was doing there by expecting a very specific experience of God that I was asking him for and putting on him was that I was putting conditions on my relationship with Jesus. I was saying, I'm here to follow you and to believe in you, but I want you to do a certain thing for me. I want you to give me a certain experience, and then I'm going to be all in. And one of the articles I read, I want to say it wasn't this morning, but it was this morning. One of the articles I read this morning about Thomas said that he wasn't doubting Thomas, he was conditional Thomas. He was doing exactly that. He was putting conditions on his faith. He was saying, look, I'm ready to believe, but first I need to put my hands on Jesus' side and on his wrist. Then I'm going to be all in. And for me, I was saying, well, I want to have a really obvious feeling experience of Jesus. And then I'm going to be there. I'm going to be all in. And we do that. But actually, when Thomas sees Jesus with him, he doesn't need what he thought he needed. I mean, we don't know exactly, but it doesn't say in the text that he went through with what he said he was going to do, that he reached out and touched Jesus. The minute he sees Jesus with him, he says, "My Lord and my God." He gets it. And actually, he gets it in a much bigger way than a lot of the other disciples has. He immediately says, "My God." He sees that Jesus is God, which up until now, everyone's found it quite difficult to get their head around that particular, which I understand it's the challenge to get your head around. But Thomas gets it. He in that moment, Jesus is with him, and so he gets it. And his conditions that he had kind of fall away. Jesus is with us. He was with Thomas, and he's just as with us. And that goes beyond our expectations. It goes beyond the conditions that we put on him. And, you know, we're used to conditional relationships as humans. A lot of our relationships are conditional. We know that most of our friends, we could probably treat them a certain way, and they would disappear. And a lot of, you know, I've had friends who, sadly, the relationship they've had with their parents has been conditional. When something has happened in their life and their parents haven't wanted them in their lives anymore. We might have painful experiences of conditional relationships. And of course, it can feel like we need to have expectations from Jesus, but we need to remember that Jesus doesn't have those kind of conditions for us. If Jesus had conditions for us, we just sang, didn't we? "Lord, if you marked our transgressions, then who could stand?" Jesus doesn't put conditions on us. We experience this completely unconditional love. And as humans, we just aren't capable of the kind of unconditional love that Jesus has. Even though there might be people in your lives who you know you have unconditional love for, and whatever happened, you would still be there for them. It pales in comparison to what Jesus has offered us. So we might find that this unconditional love of Jesus, that we can experience that in different ways than we expected, that it might not be in the certain places and ways, conditional ways that we ask for. For me, you know, I grew up in a certain style of church, which was wonderful in so many ways, and I expected a certain kind of charismatic experience that I thought was going to be the answer for me. But actually, the place that I have met Jesus in a way that has been life-changing for me has been through communion, and particularly through exploring the kind of high Eucharist Mass, which I'm getting more and more into. That is the last thing I expected as a young person, was for me to become, like, you know, interested in, like, high Mass. Definitely not what I expected. But that's where Jesus chose to meet me in a really special way. So now I know that every week when I go and I experience that experience of the Eucharist, I know that I'm going to have Jesus there with me, and I'm going to see Jesus with me, even though it's not the way that I always thought Jesus was going to show himself to me. But I know that he's with me through that. And in some ways, for me, this is kind of a tangent, I think the Eucharist is the closest thing we have to putting our hands in Jesus's side, right? Because we actually experience his body and blood in some way. But that's beside the point. The point is that we have loads of ways of Jesus being with us, and they don't need to be, you know, they don't need to take away the aspect of faith. We step into those with faith. I step into the space where I'm meeting with Jesus with faith that I'm going to meet with Jesus, and then he comes. My friend was talking to me recently about when his brother died, a really obviously terrible time for him and his family. And the way he described it was that at that time his faith was stripped back. All the kind of stuff around his faith, all the good stuff, you know, things are great, I'm excited, I'm happy, I'm experiencing God, everything's great. All that stuff was stripped away. And he said what was left at that really painful time was, okay, what do I actually think about God? What do I know? What do I know that God is, regardless of what I'm experiencing? Because for him, the conditions had not been met. He might have expected, and we might all, that God is going to give us a certain amount of ease, and that I definitely feel that way. I'm like, God, can you just protect me from the hard stuff, please? But that hadn't happened for him. In that time, he had experienced the deepest pain of his life, and the conditions had not been met. But in that, when all of that was stripped away, all of the stuff that he was leaning on, all of the certainty in his life, he found that God was still there. The most simple truth, that God was with him, was still there. and that God was with his family and that God knew what he was going through, that was still there. And I, when he was telling me about that, I really related to that experience of when things are hard, when you go through a bereavement or any kind of crisis, of just things get stripped away, but you still know that the basic truth is there. And that's what faith is, I think, when you find God outside of those expectations or those conditions or the fun times, the exciting times, the times when you're worshiping and you're really there and you feel full of God's love. Those times are great, but outside of those is when we really need faith. We need to step out and say, actually, I have faith in you, Jesus, even though this is not the easiest time. And that's something that I'm starting to love and need, is that idea of faith, and that Jesus calls us to have faith. He's with Thomas, he's with us, and he talks about us to Thomas. He says, happy are those who will never see and yet have believed, which is us, right? Not that we don't see God in loads of ways, obviously we do, but we're not going to, until we get to the kingdom, we're not going to have Jesus stand in front of us so we can touch his side if that's what we wanted. But we have believed and we have stepped into a special kind of faith that comes from, okay, maybe God isn't giving you total certainty every day in the way that you expected, but he is giving you his presence. So for me, that is the most meaningful and beautiful faith, is that faith that comes for me outside of what I expected, that God supports me in. He never says, I'm going to leave you totally stranded and you're going to have to just step out in faith. He always is part of that, but it does look different to what I expected, and I am really enjoying that. And definitely now, you know, going through my discernment process for the second time, hoping to become a priest, I have really had to rely on faith way outside of how I thought this was going to go, way outside of what I thought God was going to do for me. But he's never let me go. I've seen him in different ways, and that's what faith has meant to me. So hopefully that speaks to you in some way. Have a think about, when is it, like I said, for me it's the Eucharist. When is it for you when you're like, yeah, I see God? It might be nature. It might be, you know, when you're out for a walk and you see trees. I love a tree. It might be with your family. It might be singing, when we sing certain hymns or worship songs. It could be anything. But think about, you know, what is it for you? And how can you step more into that? And how can that support your faith so that when you're in the not so easy times, you've got that faith there?